This is London Calling.
Big Smoke Music Weekly.
I wish they'd get out of my way.
I love them. I do. Yeah, really do.
Hello, good day, and welcome. It's episode 12, season 5 of Big Smoke Music Weekly. And I'm going to have to kick things off in this episode, dear listener, with some big news. This is actually the last episode of Big Smoke Music Weekly. In its current guise, anyway. I'm sure I'll be doing something down the line. Watch this space for what that might be. But after over 5 years, many, many episodes, over 60 artist interviews, countless gigs, unreal amount of festivals, and a lot of hangovers in between, it's time for me to fly the nest of this here island and move out to Australia. It's been something I've been wanting to do for a very long time. Obviously, we had that thing called COVID a little while back, and life's plans just kind of changed, as it did for everyone, and I finally bit the bullet. It's something I've wanted to do for a very long time. I've had the travel bug since doing the gap year for 10 years now, so it's always been a big box in the back of my head that I wanted to tick, and it was the perfect time to go and do it. So, with that slightly bittersweet news, I'm going to give you one hell of an episode. We have 4 artist interviews lined up for you here on the last of Big Smoke Music Weekly. We'll be speaking to Charlie Vaughan, going out on his own after stepping away from the brilliant Weird Milk. We'll be chatting about his solo stuff. I'll be catching up with the fantastic Pynch, that's P-Y-N-C-H, in this week's Close Up 60 Seconds. Then, to try and help out getting some free gig tickets in Australia, I'm going to be speaking with brilliant upcoming Aussie outfit Dice. I'll be talking to their drummer, Lenny, all about their tour, their singles that they've had released, and how things have literally gone 0-60 for them. And I'm, of course, not going to sign off without going out with a bang. So I'll be leaving you with an interview with the Picasso, the Van Gogh, the fucking Matisse of acoustic guitar, the brilliant Johnny Took guitarist from DMA's, the biggest Australian band across the last few years. So buckle up for one last time and let's enjoy the last of Big Smoke Music Weekly.
Big Smoke Music Weekly.
So before we get into the absolute mountain of interviews that I've done for this episode, talk about jamming it in, son. I wanted to just take a wee trip down memory lane and just look back at the beginnings of Big Smoke Music Weekly. And this was kind of like my brainchild that kind of I started thinking about in 2017. So about 6 years ago now. It's weird to think that because I can actually remember genuinely before I even exactly knew what it was, I came up with the logo. I knew I wanted it to be kind of loosely based on the Stone Roses Lemon poster and Factory Records, their logo, the brilliant logo from Pete Saville, absolute icon in graphic design world, obviously did all the Hacienda stuff. And yeah, that's where it came from. And initially, weirdly enough, it started off as a radio show. Big Smoke Music Weekly was a live broadcast back in the day. And it started off with my pal Ollie Bowes from university. Both huge love of music. Used to go to a lot of gigs together. And this was actually during... We went to Royal Holloway University, but this was during one of Ollie's... Did he do about 12 fucking master's courses in the end? So it was when he was still there. I was long gone into my radio career. But yeah, I used to come back once a week to use the setup, the studio on Insanity FM. And let's hear what it sounded like live as a radio show back in 2018. Good evening and welcome to this week's version of Big Smoke Music Weekly. I'm here tonight with my co-host, Ollie Bowes. I am Luke Scanlon. Good evening, Ollie.
Hello, hello.
How's it going? You good?
Yeah, I'm well.
Ready for the show. Brilliant. Tonight we have for you our release of the week, a certified banger, and our music news as well. We'll also have tunes from...
Declan McKenna, Yonica, Antaros, Kasabi in the Amazons, Wauch.
Wow. We'll come on to that later on.
Yeah, we'll explain that.
But for now, we have for you Declan McKenna with Brazil. Yeah, there we are. Two young whippersnappers in Surrey, in the arse end of nowhere in a studio, recording that for you. into 2019, there was a week where Ollie actually went away. And I recently, in the last like 18 months, I've become friends with a man called Bristol Dave, real name Dave Bowen, of course. And Ollie went away for the week. I needed to record an episode. And Dave stepped in to cover the absent Ollie on his first episode in early 2019.
So that was Welsh Outfit Pretty Vicious with These Four Walls, a band that Dave saw the other night. We had a very strange evening. We met up to go to a gig, then Dave went to another gig, I went to another gig, and then we met up first.
We went our separate ways. It was very sad at the time.
It was sad. It was very sad. But then we met up some delightful little cocktails after.
Couple of whiskey sours, please.
There it is. That was Dave's first episode. And yeah, there was still a few more that I did with Ollie. And then for a few, one reason or another, it just ended up, I moved to London and I started using the studios at work at TalkSport. So cheers, TalkSport. And it just the convenience of doing it as a weekly show back then. We were actually loyal to the fact it was a weekly show. Haven't lived up to that since the pandemic. And that's when Dave came on board. And yeah, as we know, he got a lot better than that first episode and then, yeah, became a brilliant co-host for the show. And, yeah, a fellow interviewer with me as well, gig-goer, festival-goer. So, yeah, thanks a lot to Dave and, of course, to Ollie. The show really got up and running thanks to you guys.
Big Smoke Music Weekly.
So, enough of the memory lane nonsense. Let's take a look to the future. And, of course, I am moving to Australia. This is what the whole episode is about. I am going to the land down under. And I thought, I better start getting some free tickets involved, right? Get some lined up. And I came across this brilliant band, really making a name for themselves out in Oz. They've had a string of singles, starting to get a lot of fans out in Australia. And when I'm there, they'll be heading out on tour all across the country. So, with all the excitement, let's find out what happened when I caught up with drummer Lenny from the brilliant Dice. Did you ever come with me or leave at the store sign? Well, I don't know, but I will be just fine. Cause you know, I know, you know, I know. All right, well, I am joined by Lenny, drummer of the wonderful band Dice. How are you, sir? Are you good?
I'm great, thank you. Yourself?
I'm very well. Just before recording, he's already taken a piss out of me, Lenny, because I was like, I'm just gonna have a sip of tea. He's like, mate, you're so fucking English. I was like, oh, yeah, you know, I've got to hold on to something before the big move down under.
Oh man, I'll teach you the ways when you come over.
Definitely.
Aussie culture.
Definitely, mate. I just want to start it off, Lenny, mate, because I'm trying to remember how long I've been listening to you guys for now. But like, kind of looking at the stuff that you've done so far, it has actually been like a pretty big rise that like fans are aware of. Anyway, tell us about how long you've actually been together as a band, because I know that's not always the case. There's usually like a bit of a story before you've released stuff.
Yeah, well, the band's relatively new. It's only just under 2 years old, but I haven't actually been in the band from the first day. Like, I joined I think 9 months ago, so I think I joined at the perfect time, because the guys had already kind of established like a following, especially in WA, and after I joined, it was like a bit of a shock, because it went up pretty quickly. Like, especially recently, it's been getting a lot of traction, like especially from like Triple J and just in general, like the monthly listeners and everything kind of just shot up. I know it's a big surprise, but it's been awesome.
Nice, man. Yeah. So all I'm hearing, Lenny, is like the 9 months that you joined, everything skyrocketed.
Yeah, pretty much after I joined, everything went well. No, I'm joking.
Mate, if I was in your position, I'd be taking all of the credit if I was you.
Amazing. Nah, it was a perfect time to join. The guys had like just released the EP, the first one, Adolescent Arcade.
Yeah.
And that got a really good response.
Nice, man. Nice. Yeah, it's funny you mentioned Triple J as well, because I saw like a little while ago you're like one of their unearthed artists, which is really cool, man.
Yeah.
So it's great to have these people, you know, backing you and stuff. And I wanted to ask
it
as
is,
well.
Yeah.
Like a band like Spacey Jane from a similar kind of like neck of the woods as you guys, is that kind of like having a band like that, is that quite like you kind of look at what they're doing and think, yeah, shit, we can get on that and follow
suit?
Yeah,
definitely. Like we definitely aspire to be like Spacey Jane. They've kind of set out the road that we want to take in a way. Like, we do look at their shows, their live shows that they have on, like, YouTube and everything. I think there was one in Melbourne. It's one of their biggest shows they've played. And that's definitely one of the, like, the videos that inspire us to get over East and, like, start playing those bigger shows. Nice. And being from Perth as well, like, they're so well known in the city we live in. So it's just like, damn, we dream to be like that, you know?
Yes, nice, man. I've always wanted this thing where, like, if I just, like, my local pub, just walk in, I've always wanted to be, like, the usual. I've never had that.
Yeah, dude, that'd be sick.
Do you know what I mean?
Our local bar is the Indian Ocean Hotel,
yeah.
And we've played there so many times. I think they're starting to know the locals. Tommy, the guitarist, he's worked there before, so I think we've got a bit of an in with the bar.
Love it, man. Love it.
Let's start to know our drinks.
Let's talk about some of your tracks then, man. Eyes Ahead, big yeah. Tune. I did read somewhere that it took 6 months to put that track together. Tell me about that.
Yeah.
What was, because that's like an insane amount of work to go into one record. I mean, it's worth it, but how did that happen?
It definitely did take a long time because, we were in the middle of a tour as well, but in between writing and recording it and releasing it, like, we had a tour. So that did put a stop to releasing it pretty quickly. But we also did want to release it at the right time as well. So we have held on to that track for a little while. That was just written on one of the tours, on the recent tour, actually. The first tour. And, I just remember jamming it while we were recording Tequila Shotgun over on the East Coast. Like, Hodgie the singer, just, like, jamming it in between takes and shit. So, yeah, it was pretty cool.
Love it, man. Love it. What are you guys like as a collective, like, in terms... I'm always interested how tracks are put together and who... Is it kind of like a collective creative thing between you all? Talking just to you, you seem like a pretty chill guy. I can imagine all of you are quite chilled and open to what everyone has to kind of throw into the pan.
Yeah, I mean, everyone does put their own input into songs, which I really like. It's not just like... the singer writes it and then we all just kind of like play whatever he wants.
Yeah.
Ben usually comes in with an idea, just like maybe a chorus or a chord progression that he likes. And we just go in the rehearsal studio and kind of like suss out ideas, kind of get the vibe of what everyone wants it to sound like. Usually it is Ben writing the lyrics, but we've started all just kind of putting our own input into that as well recently. So yeah, we're just kind of all work together. There's no ego. We just kind of all go in there with the intent to write like a song that we all love to play and love to listen to. So yeah, it's a really cool dynamic.
Awesome, man. And to be honest, that probably stands you in good stead going forward as well. Like, you know, if you're going to be around for a few years, that's probably the best way to be, right? Rather than someone being like, shut up, your shit.
Yeah, exactly. It's great. Yeah, no, we work well together. And considering it's been so, like, I haven't been in the band for very long, it's really refreshing to be able to, know that we can write well together after such a short period of time, because like in the future we're going to be spending a lot of time together working together, so it's good to know we have fun with it.
Yeah, man, for sure. And the other track I wanted to ask you about, mainly because the title of the track is so fucking great, Tequila Shotgun. I saw the video. It's all about your mate Charlie, right? Because I saw the video of him, like, I loved the video. I was like, I don't know who made him make this video, but he's like, hi, I'm Charlie. This song's about me. Here's a video about me being...
That was like his 600th attempt at that video.
Yeah, you can almost tell. And then it's just how he goes, here's a video about me being told I'm in a song. So good, man. I love that. Tell us about how... Because it's really refreshing to kind of have a track that's, you know, not about falling in love or like... always, you know, like the typical stuff that we hear songs about. So it's quite nice to have, it's quite a fresh approach to songwriting, I guess, in a way, to be like, oh, let's do a track about a mate. So how did that come into being, man?
Well, Charlie's like an old friend of the boys, way back, and he used to go to like the first gigs that they put on before I was even in the band. And Charlie kind of turned from a fan to a friend. In a way, he just kind of always showed up to gigs, always just chatted to the boys. And I remember meeting him. It was on that Adolescent Arcade tour in Mandurah. And I was just like walking into the green room and I just see this guy and he's a scary looking bloke. Like, you don't want to mess with him. But then like he gives you that smile and you just know he's the most friendly person. And I just instantly realized that, okay, that, yeah, of course he's going to be mates with these boys.
Amazing.
And so, yeah, the boys just wanted to make a song about how Charlie kind of lives his life, because it is quite unique and like stress-free, just happy-go-lucky kind of guy. And like, we all kind of are inspired by the way he lives his life. And I think that's why we're all good mates.
Love it, man. Love it. What a story behind the track, mate. It's brilliant. I just wanted to ask.
It's cool.
Just wanted to ask as well about the tour. Because I think have you got a few dates kind of around in February? Is that right?
Yeah. So we're doing the regional tour through Feb. So last weekend we played Mandurah and Margaret River. And then on Saturday, we're going to play Bunbury.
Love it, mate. Love it. And then in May, June time, I think it's 11 dates you've got in total. You're doing like pretty much the entire country.
Yeah.
And it's just hilarious, right? Because I told you I'm moving to Melbourne in a couple of weeks. And it is so funny because like if a band does a UK tour, you're like, yeah, whatever. And then, but an Australian tour, that's essentially bigger than a European tour. Because the mileage is actually insane. I obviously knew Australia was big, man, but when I started, like, I was like, right, I'm moving to Melbourne, and I started checking like, oh, how far is it from this city to that city or whatever, and I was like, fuck's me.
It's long drive,
mate. You don't actually realize quite how big it is. So what are the cities, because obviously you guys are a Perth band, what are the cities that you tend to like going to play at?
My favorite would probably be Brisbane. I just love Brisbane. I don't know what it is about it. Like, everyone kind of says Melbourne and Sydney are the best. I think the boys like really like Sydney, but Brisbane to me and Gold Coast are just always really good fun. I think this is the third time we're going to go over there and play a show, which is, it's really exciting. But what you're saying before about the Aussie tour being like a lot of mileage, it's really difficult for us because we're over in WA, like on the other side. So going over in the first place is just an effort. It's so hard. But when you're in Melbourne, you can just kind of stick around on the East Coast area and like it's not too far, but Perth's just like all the way over. So it is good. We've got to get over.
Yes. And I just, before I let you go, mate, because I know you've got more important shit to be doing than talking to me. I told you before we start recording, I'm moving down to Melbourne, as we know. What do I need to do to kind of fit in with the Aussies, mate? Because it strikes me that I need to grow my hair.
Grow your hair. That's an interesting one. I mean, like, I've got
I swear to God, every guy has got long hair.
Yeah, that's true. Like, you should say, have you seen Regan? He's the bassist in our band. He's got some pretty long hair. Hodgie, the singer's just chopped his off. So now he's got, like, probably my length. And Tommy and I rock pretty short hair as well. So, like, we don't have too long hair. The boys used to have pretty long hair. It's like, I just can't grow it, like, past my shoulders. I get, like, yeah.
Nice.
But if you're coming to Australia, I reckon you should get, there's these thongs. You guys call it flip-flops.
We do, yeah. I love the slight English accent you put on then. Flip-flops.
Flip-flops. Yeah, no. So you get these thongs and they're, like, this thick. They're, like, really thick. They're like four-wheel drive thongs. And there is, I don't think there's anything more Aussie than those things. Tom rocks them like on the daily. And awesome. I give him shit for it every single day, but they're so funny.
Are they like flip-flops for people that have back problems?
Maybe, but they look like shoe boxes, man. They're fucked.
Amazing. And do I need to grow a little tash as well? Because a lot of guys...
Yeah, definitely get the stash going. I wish I could grow one, but my facial hair is lacking a little bit.
Thing is, man, it's weird. Like, I'm quite, like, blonde normally. You can't tell because it's so fucking dark and miserable here in the UK at the moment. But in the summer, I go blonde. But, like, my beard stays quite dark, but my tash just is blonde. Like, peroxide blonde. And all it looks like, I've just taken a sip of a flat white and it stayed there. It's not a good look, man.
Oh, that's funny. That is funny.
Nice. And I also need to ask you, man, because I spoke to Johnny Took from DMAs, who will also be on this episode. And I was asking him about Aussie snacks, right? I was like, burger rings, I've heard they're good.
They are very good.
And Johnny told me to go and get some Twisties. So
Twisties, I reckon Twisties are better than burger rings.
Okay. Ooh, bit of competition. Nice.
Burger rings don't taste like burgers, which is a bit odd, but they're so good.
I feel like that's a deep-rooted hatred of burger rings. The fucking thing with burger rings, they don't taste like burgers.
If they don't taste like burgers, why would you call them burger rings? Like, also, like, this is completely different, but who the fuck came up with that artificial grape flavor? Because it doesn't taste like grapes.
I know. The most disturbing one's watermelon, man. That is fucking grim.
Yeah, it just doesn't taste like watermelon, but no, it tastes doesn't. Good. So I'm ranting about random shit right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah. Whoa. Do some deep breathing, man. It'll be fun. Okay, but I need to know, Lenny, what is the snack, your choice, that I need to give a spin when I'm down under?
Oh, okay. So I've got a sweet tooth, so I'll go with, they're called roll-ups.
Roll-ups? So, mate, that just sounds like you need me to start smoking.
No, they're not rollies, roll-ups.
Roll-ups. They're like fruit winders that we have here.
Yeah, they're so good.
Okay, I'll get on that, man. They look decent. Sweet. Well, mate, thanks ever so much for swinging by, man. And hopefully I'll come to your boy's show at the Corner Hotel in May.
Awesome. Look forward to it. Thanks, man. Appreciate the chat.
Big Smoke Music Weekly.
Oh, what a lovely chap. I'm going to try and sound as English as I can before I start undoubtedly picking up an Aussie fucking accent, mate. That was Lenny from the Brilliant Dice. Do go and have a listen to them. Such great, like, just surfer rock. Puts you in a great mood. If the shit weather in the UK is getting you down, think of me on a beach and put that on. If you maybe not think of me on a beach if you don't want to be highly disturbed. But yeah, that is them. They are hitting the road, as we discussed in the interview. They're out on an Australian tour, 11 dates in total, kicking off in Queensland on May the 11th out on the Gold Coast. So yeah, I'll be seeing them on May the 26th at Corner Hotel, Melbourne. I can't wait. It's actually very weird to think about going to gigs in a new city abroad that I'm going to be living in. But I've heard great things. Melbourne is a brilliant place for gigs and live music.
Big Smoke Music Weekly.
Okay, so as mentioned, at the top of the show in the introduction, I've actually I've gone back and I've tried to count all of the artists that I've spoken to in the past 5-6 years with Big Smoke Music Weekly. I think it's over 60, I'm pretty sure. I've got a list that I've really like properly scribbled down on a piece of paper, but some brilliant bands on there, The Snuts, Metronomy, The Libertines, Porridge Radio, Porridge, Lime Garden, Wonder Horse, Marzikan, Sundara Karma, The Mysterines, TV Priest, Do Nothing, The Amazons, Sports Team, Shame, L'Objectif, Pixie. Man, there's a massive list. It's actually mad. I'll try and write down the full list without making it look like the ramblings of a madman and share that on the Instagram page at Big Smoke Music Weekly for you guys to have a look at. But yeah, it's quite nice to take a look at who we've had on and some artists that were kind of at the beginning of their career when I spoke to them. Bands like Shambolics, Lauren Hibbard, Walk Disco, spoke to them. And that was one of the main things I wanted to do when I started the pod up, is to try and give a little leg up to artists trying to make a name for themselves, because it is pretty tough trying to get some actual airtime, as we know, because it's kind of radio stations, they have their A playlist, their B playlist. There are the likes of John Kennedy giving young artists on Radio X a nice, proper national breakthrough. But there's not actually that much out there for bands trying to get in there. So that's something I've always tried to do, as well as interviewing some bigger acts too. One of the ways I've done that in the last couple of series is our little link up with the brilliant promo company Close Up and my good pal Sam Tucker pulling the strings behind the scenes over there. And yeah, it wasn't right to do one more episode without another Close Up artist. So now time for our final 60 seconds feature. Close Up 60 seconds. This is my chat with a man who has a name I'm extremely jealous of, Spencer Enoch, from the superb Pinch. I am joined by Spencer from Pinch. How are you, sir?
Yeah, I'm good, Luke. Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Nice to see you too, man. I was going to ask, I know you guys are from London, but whereabouts in London do you claim you're from? Because this is always a thing with London bands.
Yeah, so, I mean, me and my brother who plays bass are from London. We're from Ealing, but that's not really where the band is from. The band is from Kilburn, northwest London, which we have renamed Chilburn in our little world yes. to try and take the edge off.
See, I used to live down the road from Kilburn. I know Kilburn quite well. I used to live in Wilson Green before COVID happened, before that goddamn pandemic. And so when I was doing my research for this interview, because I'm such a hardened interviewer, I was like, I looked at your Instagram and I was like, Chilburn, what the fuck, like from Chilburn? And it genuinely got me. I even googled Chilburn and it just came up with NHS page for Chilblains.
Oh, well, that's not the most ideal thing to come up. Hopefully if we that's all also the name of our record label, Chilburn Recordings, so hopefully if we can build up some form of profile, then maybe that will come up on
and
page.
Then honestly, as soon as it came up with Chilblains, it suddenly clicked. I was like, Luke, you dumb fuck, it's obviously just Chilburn. Let's make Chilburn properly happen.
Hopefully, yeah. I mean, Lauren Laverne played, I think she played one of our singles, might have been Disco Lights, and then she was talking about she must have read our bio and she was like not that happy that we'd tried to rename Kilburn. She was like, it's got a storied history of people working with kilns and pottery and you shouldn't be doing that.
Nice, love it, mate. Well, I was gonna say that leads me on very nicely. Hand on heart, did not know about you until maybe a few weeks ago, which I'm sorry to say, but I also had the lovely thing that I haven't had for a while, because doing this pod you always kind of have to like obviously be on top of some artists that come through, but I had that lovely thing that I haven't experienced for a while where you come across a band, usually sometimes happen if you're on a bit of like a YouTube rabbit hole, and I was like, holy shit, this band are fucking great. And it's unbelievable. Mate, I have to say as well, I've been listening to the EP that came out last month, the 2009 EP. And mate, some of the tunes on that, man, unbelievable.
Oh man, well, I'm glad. It's not, to be fair, it's not actually an EP. It's sort of just like a way of releasing the singles. So it's sort of building up. It does say EP on Spotify, but thank you so much, man. Those are all the singles that are going to be on the album. And yeah, really glad that you liked it. It would be a bit, bit peak if you were like listening for the first time, like, what the fuck am I going to say to this guy?
Yeah.
Smile and wave.
Yeah, it's been lovely chatting, mate. So bye-bye.
But no, thank you, man. That means a lot. Glad you liked it.
In particular, the track Somebody Else, man, that is just like understated cool is what I'd call that. It's just that lovely, like, bubbling little bass line on that. It's just beautiful. And I don't really know how to describe it other than like arcade synth in that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man, it's definitely got a bit of 8-bit synth vibe going on. Yeah, man, that's definitely the song that sort of exposed us to a lot more people online, and that's, yeah, definitely the one that a lot of people connected with. So I lost my job because of COVID. I sort of moved jobs, and then I was going to work at a jukebox company, funnily enough, but that was all, most of their business was to do with like jukeboxes set up in like public spaces and pubs, and I'd started there like 2 weeks before it started. And so there was, I couldn't get furloughed because I started too recently. And then I couldn't go back to my old job because obviously I'd left and they'd started to hire someone else. So I had to move back home with my parents, and it was sort of just like reflecting on the catalyst conveyor belt and sort of just reflecting on your life sort of thing. But yeah, a lot of people seem to connect with that song, which means a lot. Yeah, there's nothing nicer than like the YouTube comments in particular are just like the nicest place for feedback. I feel like people just say the most wholesome things about music.
Mate, exactly. It's such, honestly, such a tune, man. But so you say those singles on that EP that's not an EP,
yeah,
they'll be on the forthcoming album,
yeah,
Howling at a Concrete Moon, which is out on April 14th.
Yeah, man. Yeah, no, exactly. We're definitely like a DIY band. We've like done tours around the UK and Europe, just like in a Skoda hatchback. We like self-produce a lot of stuff. Like the album's co-produced with Andy Ramsey, who is a total fucking legend, runs a studio in Bermondsey. He's like the drummer in Stereo Lab as well. So we sort of like took my home recordings to the studio. And yeah, so it's sort of like the story of us as a band so far since we like formed in, yeah, I mentioned earlier, like 2017. We then have like, in different phases, sort of like built up playing live, like playing around London, playing like pretty much every small like venue around London. Ended up like supporting the Libertines in like 2019, just before we released Disco Lights. Did our first single with Speedy Underground, which was like fucking awesome.
Sounds like one hell of a journey. And Spencer, I can say anyone that comes on my podcast and mentions the Libertines is automatically a friend for life. So thank you.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, no, I was looking on your Instagram and I saw you had a few pictures with Carl, so that's jokes.
Yeah, literally, they're loves my life.
Yeah, playing with them was surreal. Like, we played in Nottingham, Glasgow. So yeah, Nottingham Rock City, which is a venue I'd seen, like, yeah, the Cribs and Cage the Elephant at when I was like at university. Glasgow Barrowlands was fucking crazy as well, like the most insane venue. So that was quite cool.
It seems like there's a lot of blood, sweat and tears that's gone in to Pinch.
Yeah, oh man, it's been a slog at times, but it's been super fun. Like, I get to make music with my brother and two of my best friends. Yeah, man, it's been a great journey.
Well, on behalf, I'm sure, of that fan base that you mentioned already, and myself, a new fan, thank you for sticking with it, because it is great stuff. Also, mate, before we get into the 60 seconds, a quick shout out to the fact you have an 8-date tour coming up, April and May. Great time of year to tour this, by the way. Yeah, I will say one thing. Friday night, 21st of April, Moth Club, you playing, Sam Tucker there, dangerous combination.
Yeah, no, we're really excited to play there for the first time. Going back to Brighton as well, always have a great time playing there. And yeah, playing in Margate at Where Else, which is, yeah, sick venue. And then headlining Moth Club, with good friend Sam helping us put that gig on. It's going to be awesome. Yeah, can't wait.
It will be. He'll be there with his open shirt and probably a little medallion on, living it up.
Man, it's going to be lit.
Big Smoke Music Weekly.
Cool. Right. Well, Spencer, if you're ready.
I'm nervous.
Everyone says this, mate. Everyone says that they're nervous when really
You're just talking to some bloke on the end of a microphone who's asking you 5 questions.
Also, the fact the questions are unknown at this point, obviously.
Yeah. You're going into it blind. That's the beauty of it. Right, number one is best biscuits to dunk in a cuppa and why?
Best biscuits to dunk in a cuppa. I'm partial to the Fox's Viennese ones. I think they're quite good. They're a bit outlandish. I guess not ones that you instantly spring to mind. I do have some caramel digestives on my desk in front of me. I don't know. They're probably all right to dunk. I don't know. Those would be the two that I'd go for.
Right, that's 22 seconds, Spencer. You absolutely panicked there. By the way, I've never had anyone go, I'm partial to. That was a great start. You know, I must say, I'm pretty partial to a Fox's Viennese. That was amazing. Okay, back's against the wall here, pal, because you're over a third down on your time. Question two is, your favourite TV show as a kid?
Really like Dragon Ball Z. That's quite a rogue one as well.
The best thing, the look on your face, it looked like it's like a real guilty pleasure thing.
I've watched a bit of it recently, but I was like, there's nothing else I could say. It would just be a bold-faced lie.
Yeah. Well, after your biscuit, I was waiting for you to be like, oh, just like the Chronicles of Shakespeare's life, really. Nice. Okay, well, you're doing all right. You're half... I can... You've still got this in the bag. Okay.
Pull some time back.
This one might throw you a little bit, though. Number three, the best thing about Pinch.
Best thing about Pinch, we're just cool people trying to make cool music.
Fuck yeah. Nice. Okay, number four, you have 21 seconds remaining, so you're actually doing okay here. Number four is your three dream festival headliners, dead or alive.
Well, LCD Sound System are probably my favorite band. I recently got really, really over the last year into Sufjan Stevens, so I'd love to see him. And who else? I'm gonna go Jimi Hendrix.
Nice. Well, I love it.
Named someone, although that is a very male dominated headline. I probably, if given more time, would think about that a bit more. But those are the three that came to my mind.
Can you imagine if that's how, like, Glasto just came up with their headlines? Right, you've got 10 seconds. Name three headlines. Right, somehow you've pulled this almost nearly out of the bag because you've got 3 seconds. And I don't know how you're going to do this, actually, the last question in 3 seconds. Because I've only just reread it myself. Okay, the final question, Spencer, is your favourite festival memory?
How am I going to... I don't know. Please answer.
There's the timer, but go on. You must have one playing at a festival. There must be one.
We played a few festivals. The ones of going to festivals, maybe not safe for work, but the ones of us playing. We played at this amazing festival called Left of the Dial in Rotterdam. It's a super cool alternative festival run by this awesome guy called Stefan. It was very cool. We went to they had a DJ going on to 6 in the morning. We went there at 4 and we were like, obviously the party's going to be dead. It's going to be so peak. We wasted the entire evening in the hotel. And then we got there at 4 in the morning and they were playing Billy Idol, Dancing with Myself. There's people throwing their arms up, dancing on the table. It's like walking into an episode of Stranger Things. It's so 80s, so crazy. Everyone's having a mad time. It was so sick. And then one of the venues is called V11, which is we played there last summer and we're going back there as part of the tour. It's this big red boat in the harbour in Rotterdam. Amazing. And it's super, yeah. So that has been my favourite memory so far at festivals with them.
As memories go, that is pretty good, mate. I'll give you that.
Awesome, yeah, man.
Love it. Well, Spencer, thanks so much for swinging by for the last Close Up 60 Seconds. Close Up 60 Seconds. Yes, do be sure to check out their merch, actually, because that t-shirt is fucking cool, man. Really big fan of it. And look out for the album coming out too, Howling at the Concrete Moon, which lands on April 14th on their own label, Chilburn Records. It's Chilburn as in Kilburn, by the way. So just in case, yeah, nice. And of course, they have a tour coming up. 8 dates across the UK and Europe. And that big one on the Friday, 21st of April, down at Moth Club in London. Get on it!
Big Smoke Music Weekly.
Okay, well, I promised that big interview to sign off on. And they're an artist I was already honoured and privileged that they came on with a chat with us 3 years ago, just before the pandemic hit. To be honest, still buzzing from that interview. And to have a chat with them for a second time is just unreal. And what a growth they've had. Their fourth album, How Many Dreams, comes out 31st of March. They've gone on to develop a huge fan base over here in the UK, across the world pretty much, and of course, back home in Australia. This summer, they're playing at massive UK festivals. Why not? Truck Festival, Tram Lines. They've got a 13-date UK tour coming up before they head off to Europe. I am, of course, talking about the increasingly brilliant and ever-adapting DMA.
Lay down, give me someone new.
I was lucky enough to have a sit down with guitarist Johnny Took. Johnny Took, thanks for joining me with your larger than life soup bowl I can see in front of you there. That is one hell of a soup bowl, by the way.
I'm starting to feel like this was, I hope this isn't coming off rude. You know, I've just been doing interviews all night and then I was like, oh, I haven't eaten.
I like that you're comfortable enough to have your soup in my presence.
Okay, good, good. I'll probably regret it later. Is this a film podcast or is it a just audio?
I might use a bit of a clip of it, but it's fine. I won't put the whole thing up. We're cool, mate. We're cool. But the main thing is people are missing your lovely blonde locks, mate. I'm liking the dyed hair.
Oh yeah, thank you. It's you know, nice.
How do you keep it intact? Because I did it once, and the whole it just, you know, when you get like breakages all up each strand of hair,
yeah,
the whole thing's fucked.
Yeah, no, you just got to I'm a bit lazy with it, but and my hair grows really quickly, so I got to keep cutting it, but then I just keep redoing it. I've been doing it for a few years now. It kind of, I look fucked when my hair grows back normally now because I'm not used to it.
What, the natural hair color, you mean?
Yeah. When it's brown, I feel like I'm like, it feels weird now.
What, do you reckon you seem a bit washed out? Is that what you think?
I don't know.
You don't look like the beach blonde babe.
Yeah, know? I don't know. I'm going for sick boy vibes, you know what I mean?
Love it.
That's
mate.
My
love
inspiration,
it.
Yeah.
Well, mate, I'm going to call, before we start recording, we had the chat about the shit time that was COVID. I don't know if you remember, I actually spoke to Matty. You were in the room with Tommy. It was in London, about February 2020. And it was just when the glow was coming out and you guys were literally just signing vinyl after vinyl whilst I was talking to Matty in the room.
Yeah.
And after that, I think that's where like everyone got COVID because I had an email like 2 weeks later being like, just a heads up, some of the boys have got COVID. And I think one of our mates got COVID.
Yeah. Man, I think everyone got it. It's just one of those things you have to kind of go through, you know?
Exactly. Mate, well, that album obviously was just about to come out, The Glow. That was your third album. Because obviously we'll talk about the new album in a little while, but how weird a time was that for you guys? Because it literally came out when the world shut down, right?
Yeah. I remember we pushed it back a couple of months.
Mm.
And just like, obviously, like that didn't help. You know, we could have pushed it back a couple of years. It's like, but we made the most of it. You know, we did, you had to be more creative on like, with, you know, doing covers or, you know, everyone was doing those kind of like video things from at home where like, you know, you'd each record yourself being in a different spot or we did like a live performance thing at the Splendor in the Grass Ground. And stuff. We did the AFL Grand Final. You know, we had to be a bit more creative with things, which was cool.
Yeah, man, love
you know?
It.
And you just have to think of it differently. And you know, the thing with COVID is, is like, you can kind of whinge about it because it was fucked, but also it's not like just DMAs went through COVID. You know what I mean? Everybody went through COVID. Every band, every person who was starting a new business, every, you know, so it was kind of like, at least we're all in it together kind of thing.
Yeah, man, for sure, for sure. I've got to say, by the way, off that album, I love Life is a Game of Changing, but Silver, I can never get, because I've seen you a couple of times since that album came out now, I can never get over how good a reception. Obviously, it's a great song, but I can't get over how it is a properly loved track, though, isn't it, live now?
Yeah, it's just become like, it's just every now and again, like a song just becomes one of those really special songs for you, and it's, and Silver's just kind of become that, you know? Like, there'll never be a set we don't play it. Like, it's just like that kind of, like, kind of like Delete, you know?
Yeah. Sure, man.
And whenever a song becomes, you know, really special to other people, you know, and like you can tell because it's one of those songs that, you know, people want it to be played at their wedding or want it to be their first dance or, like, you know, people play it at funerals, you know, and it's we feel really proud that, you know, something we wrote can be like that special to people, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. Is that quite a weird feeling in a way? Like, as you say, they're like proper landmark moments in people's lives. Is it quite odd to think, like, wow, something I've created is like that integral to someone's life?
Well, yeah, it makes you feel not completely useless, that's for sure.
It gives you validation.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's like, well, I'm doing something right, you know, and I don't really reply to many of them. I know, I think Tommy and Mason maybe do, but we get a lot of messages on Instagram and stuff like that. And you know, they mean a lot when you see them.
That's cool, man. Well, on to the new album then, mate. How Many Dreams? It's coming out on 31st of March. I was lucky enough to be sent a link to it. I had a listen through. Sounded great, mate, by the way. Love it.
Another slightly new direction.
But I think even the title track, first track on the album, it is quite a nice continuation from The Glow.
I think so as well. It's definitely like it's got its own energy, but it's, you know, we learned a lot of Stuart Price during The Glow. I think particularly in COVID, you know, there's like a song on there called Decale, which is like the last song. And it's just like a fucking hectic. It's like pretty much the most dance track we've ever done. Like, I think there's maybe an electric bass on it, and that's like the only, there's an acoustic and the piano that comes in at one point, but it's hard. Like, it's a hard dance song. And I like that. I like that.
On a lot of the tracks as well, it's quite particularly like, well, the riff on Olympia, mate. Love that. But I think everybody's saying Thursday's the Weekend. They're quite like upbeat and almost like defiant song. Is that what you guys spoke about? You wanted it to be a bit of a like solid, you know, happy album.
Yeah, we wanted to be a positive, happy fucking you know, like we wanted it to be basically an album that didn't stink of COVID.
Have whoever your marketing team and add that on, doesn't stink of COVID.
Yeah, I should have fucking thought of this earlier. I'm going to use that in interviews from now on. We wanted to make an album that didn't stink of COVID.
There you go. As long as you say, for the full interview, head over to Big Sweat Music Weekly.
Yeah. That's right. Nah, I'm glad you felt that, man.
Yeah, definitely, man. So how does it work? Because I spoke to Matty before and he did kind of...
Oh, sorry. One thing. I'll just finish on actually something on that.
Yeah, go on.
So the reason why there were tracks like that on the record and even How Many Dreams and stuff like that, you know, which has a dance rock element kind of to it. It was because we've always been a kind of classic band in the sense of like, in that old, more of an old school way of songwriting, you know, compared to some tracks, some more modern tracks that you might hear today. And I guess that's just from like the music we listened to and we were brought up on. And there is still that element on this record, even though it is a more modern sounding record for us. But I think the reason that happened was because for the first time since the band had formed, basically, like, we, you know, we're a pretty hard touring band, and because our two markets are Australia and UK, you know, it was kind of like we're always chasing summers, chasing festivals, and then, you know, then you go do your tour in winter, and then it's summer in Australia, and then you know, and you always go back and forth.
Not a bad life, really.
No, it's a great life. But one thing it doesn't let you do is it doesn't give you much time at home to stop. And so when COVID happened, it was like all of a sudden we got to stop and go, oh, okay, fuck. You know, what kind of music do I want to write? And like, you know, I'd always had a love for production, but I'd never really had the chance to really just like spend months and months on end and on working out other facets of music and like playing around with drum machines and loops and like, you know, and even like I'd never really worked with synthesizers and learning how each one works and, you know, and doing sound design and all that kind of stuff. And which as a musician, it's like, you know, it's like you're a painter and you've just been given like, you know, fucking 1,000 new colors to work with, you know what I mean? And yeah. Or something like that. And so that was really exciting for us. So being able to experiment as artists in that regard was that was cool, you know.
Nice, man. Nice. I was going to ask as well, because obviously, as with anything, as an artist, you know, you'll have your fans from album number one, and as always, if there's ever change, there's some people that won't like change, right? When you guys are writing tunes, do you ever think how's this going to go down with the fan base, or is it more like we like it, we're going with it?
Well, we thought it enough to make a EP that was like we did I Love You Unconditionally, Sure I'm Gonna Miss You. We did that EP.
Yeah, that was more like The Hill, that sort of stuff, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was more like that kind of vibe. So we kind of like, you know, we thought it enough to do that. But at the same time, my favorite bands are bands that I grow with. Yeah. When they do bring something a little bit new, you know, and I think it's a little bit short-sighted to think that you want your band just to make a band that you love just to make the album that you love, because it's never going to be that album. Even if it sounds kind of similar, it's not going to be that album. And those old albums, the truth is, they're attached to memories and they're attached to nostalgia. You know, so it's like, oh, I love Hill's End because, you know, it's when me and my partner first met and we were driving to a festival in Scotland or something like that. And we, you know, blah, blah, blah. And like we had our first date or something like that, you know. But there's a story behind it. But when a new album comes out, you don't have those memories.
Yeah. Or it's usually when that relationship is ending.
You know, they're still yet to be made.
It's the breakup album. I fucking hate DMAs now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, she fucking left me. Yeah. And then they're listening to everyone saying Thursday's the weekend.
Why is everyone happy? Yeah, amazing.
Yeah, no, but someone's, you know, it's a cycle. Someone's fallen in love to that song, you know what I mean?
Yes. Well, I've never really thought about that, mate. That's some good insight there. So anyway, you've got a tour coming up in the UK in April. 13 dates, I believe. I think you're at Brixton on the 21st of April.
That's been changed now.
Oh, is it? Go on. What's the headline?
We're going to Wembley.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, because there was the trouble with Brixton, wasn't there? Yeah.
Yeah, so like we were kind of like, do we go smaller onto two and do two shows? Or do we just go a little bit bigger, you know?
Wembley's sick, mate.
Yeah, I've never been, so yeah, I'm really excited. And I'm kind of, you know, I love Brixton, but we, you know, we've played it before and we even did a Live at Brixton album. So I was kind of, you know, even though I love that venue, I'm excited to make new memories, you know?
Yeah, last time Brixton. I saw you boys was at the Roundhouse. Was that in like October, November time? Around that sort of time.
Oh yeah, that was the last gig in London.
Yeah, you guys were sounding unbelievable that night. I think that's the best I've seen you.
Oh, thanks, man.
Did you all kind of come off stage thinking, fuck?
Oh, yeah, that was a special one, you know? It's a funny, good capacity as well. Was it 3,500 or something like that?
So something like that.
It's big, but it's not. But there's still something kind of personal about it. I don't know, you know?
Yeah. I think just the setting as well, just like the actual building itself, man, it just looks incredible, yeah, doesn't it?
No, that was a real special one for us.
Yeah, man. I've got to ask as well, because I always think you guys seem like the coolest customers in the house when you're on stage. I mean, you have this crowd whipped up into a frenzy all of the time, but you guys seem very, you know, very calm, collected, very with it, very professional. Is that actually what's going on inside your head?
Depends what song it is.
I can imagine.
You know? No, I think we're all pretty chilled. You know, yeah, depends. Everyone has different songs that they don't like playing live for a particular reason, and you know, just because, especially when the shows get more, you know, when you know, you're playing to different loops and you got different things, because it's more of a, you know, kind of some songs you just have a bit of that going on.
Yeah, for sure.
And so that's a little bit different. So some people like some songs more than others, but yeah, no, we're actually pretty chilled on stage. The truth is like, if you're getting up on stage and you're playing a show in front of 5,000 people, you should know what the fuck you're doing.
Very good point. Well made. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like, you know, it's like, so you should know what you're doing. And if you don't, you haven't worked hard enough, and people pay good money to see, you know, what the fuck you're doing. So
sure, man. Is it next year? You've been around for 10 years, I think. 2014 is when you kind of got going, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
So like with a big show like that, or like you've got Wembley coming up, how much energy, obviously a lot of energy does go into it, but how much work and prep, does it feel like you still have to really prepare for those big shows, or it's kind of like, because you've got that years of experience behind you now, it's more kind of, you all know what you're doing?
Well, it's a bit of both. The great thing about a live show is that I feel like every album you make, you get to add better songs to it, you know? And even if it's only one or two really special songs, if you get to add them into the set, it makes the set stronger.
Yeah, man, for sure.
Like, I love playing. We played Olympia on the last tour, and I just love that song. And it's
such a bop, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's so good in the live set. And it wasn't released then, so I'm excited to coming back for the actual album tour, because people were like watching and going, oh, I like this, you know. But like, and that riff came in like, but I think I can imagine the crowd in the UK singing that riff and stuff. Yeah. At the next gigs. So I'm really excited about that. And even Thursday's the Weekend, it came out 5 days or something before that tour started. And I was a little bit worried about the response for that live, just because the new ones, you know, they gotta earn their place in the set. And it was just instantly, it just like went down so well.
Yeah. I always like asking bands about playing new stuff live. Do you ever like look into the crowd to see what kind of people's faces are saying?
Sometimes.
I can imagine. Is it a bit like, oh, are they liking this?
Yeah. But there's a lot of faces out there. It's hard to focus on one. But yeah, most of the time, live music does something to people. And being in crowds does something to people, you know? They're like, people are having a good time anyway, even if they don't know the song.
When you've got a tour coming up like that, because obviously you have got now four albums worth of tunes behind you, plus the EPs and all of that stuff, do you guys sit around and really work out what your set list will be? Kind of, do you work it per show, or do you just kind of stick with one for the whole tour kind of thing?
Normally what we do is we'll have a rehearsed set list for a tour. But then we change it up every tour, the order, and then we'll also have songs where like we'll have, say, like another song that like printed next to it that maybe evokes a similar energy. So if we're playing multiple shows, or if we want to switch that song out for another song, you know what I mean, they've got a similar vibe or something like that.
Yeah, sure, man. Is there any that you're always like, oh no, right, Tommy, no, we're playing this? Is there anyone that you're always like begging to get on the set list?
No, you know what? We're all pretty good. I don't think, like, yeah, I don't want to stick my foot in it.
throw your bandmates under the bus. It's fine.
Yeah, I wasn't going to do that. Yeah, you know, because that's not, you know, I don't want to say something and then someone be like, "Fuck, Johnny said that in the podcast," and now I know that that band member's not enjoying it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But one song I do always push for is I'll take a bit more than that. Is "You're Low." We all like really like putting "You're Low" in, and we don't do it all the time, but every now and again we do, and because that was on our first EP, I think. Yeah.
Nice, man. Love it. So, mate, before we start recording, I told you I need some Johnny Took advice in my life. So, in just under four weeks, I'm actually moving to Melbourne, mate.
Are you? Crazy.
I need some advice, because you boys are from, you grew up in Sydney area, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And how big is the beef between the cities? Because I've read about this, but I don't actually know how big the beef is.
Oh, it's, well, it's one-sided.
On what side? Is it Melbourne not like in Sydney?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. It's Melbourne not like in Sydney, but everyone from Sydney loves Melbourne. They're like, yeah, Melbourne's great. And then they go back to Sydney.
Amazing.
And then Sydney, like, fucking Sydney siders.
Yeah, love it. Where, so you prefer Melbourne then, I'm guessing?
Well, it's, you know, it's not better or worse. It's just different. But I grew up in Sydney my whole life. I've got a lot of history there, a lot of, you know, and I love it for that reason. All my family are there and that's great. But then, you know, I moved to Melbourne and I moved down here with my wife, and we've made our own memories and our own little world down here. And I don't know as many people. I don't run into as many people. And there's something about that I like, you know. And also, like, it's a bit slower in Melbourne, and Melbourne's it's less. I understand why people from Melbourne don't like Sydney, because Sydney's got a bit of a, it's a bit corporate up there.
I've heard it's more like London.
Yeah, 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 exactly. And so I can understand that. Yeah.
Have you got any tips for the flight, mate? The longest flight I've ever done is 15 hours. So I've got like I've got like 26 hour flight, man.
Oh well, man, I did it 7 times last year. So
yeah, I'm talking to the pro here.
yeah. I got some tips. Buy yourself a comfortable eye mask.
I've got one of those. A lovely little memory phone number, mate.
You wear like, do you wear sleeping masks? Do you have noise cancelling like AirPods or headphones?
Got these bad boys, the ones I'm wearing right now. They're good.
The only problem with those ones, they're good, but you can't sleep. That's a big thing. Is these ones you can, yeah, the earbuds, you can actually sleep in them.
Yeah, might have to be done. Where do you stand on the neck pillow situation? Do you want those?
I had one foot. Mason gave me his old one. So love, I was it. Using that for a while. He's got some like real techie. He's always got really techie kind of gadgets and stuff.
Nice.
So he gave me his old one. So I used that for a bit, and they're pretty good. I'll probably buy one for the next one, actually, next trip. Another really good important thing to do is, like, because the headphones are really shit on the.
They're shocking, aren't they?
Like, oh, they're horrible, and they're like really garbage, and it's not even like that nice. Like watching it on the screen, just the main thing to do is pre-download like a really good series, you know, and podcasts or audio books. Like have stuff that's just pre-downloaded, because you know there's a lot of garbage on those, and you can break it up every now and again. But like, I think I landed in London one time and I didn't want to get off the plane because I was so addicted to like the show I was watching. You know what I mean? I was like, and it's like, that's never happened.
Can you remember what the show was?
What was it? No, I actually can't remember.
Were you like, lads, can you just go up to Manchester and back so I have a bit more time
to finish this off? Yeah. That was kind of the vibe. I watched a lot of garbage.
I've got to ask as well, right, what three, like, Aussie snacks do I need to go for when I get there? Because I've heard burger rings. Are they like the bag of, like, they're chips, right? But they taste like burgers.
Oh, yeah.
Are they good?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, they're all right. I didn't realise they were Australian. There's heaps of stuff that I didn't realise is Australian. Are Twisties Australian? Or are they universal?
I have no idea. I've never even heard of Twisties. What are they?
Twisties. I'm going to Google.
Do it, mate.
Twisties, type of thing, chips available mainly in Australia. Yeah, Twisties are pretty good. People like Lamingtons. Twisties, they're just like cheese flavored. Yeah.
What are they? Okay. Twisties, are they like cheese?
Yeah, no, they're good. They're good.
Cool. I'll have to get on that. And I just wanted to end the interview, Johnny, because I know you've got soup, more soup to be eating. I wanted to ask, because obviously Triple J have just done their Hot 100, and you guys always tend to be in it. How big is that out in Australia? Because I know it is a massive thing made of it, isn't there? But how big is it for you guys to get on that list, and how big is it, do other artists see it, particularly in Australia?
Oh, it's pretty massive in Australia, you know, because it's mainly voted. I think you can vote outside, but it's a big Australian thing. So it's mainly voted by Australian thing, and it's voted by the people, you know. So I guess even though you can, like, you know, an artist with a bigger following can get more followers, but at the end of the day, it's like, it's what people like, and, you know, you can vote whatever, forever, whatever they want. And yeah, you know, and yeah, I think, like, since we've started releasing music, we've only had 1 year where we haven't made it, and that feels amazing. It just feels amazing that, you know, the place where we come from, people are still listening to our music and can still be fucked to vote for it, you know, for stuff like that. And, you know, that means the world to us.
Big Smoke Music Weekly.
Johnny Took, ladies and gentlemen, and, oh, the DMAs, what a band. They are really a band that I've loved. Probably about a year before the pod started, about, yeah, when their debut, The Hill, came out back in 2016. Seems like a different lifetime ago now. But yeah, they've always been high up on my Spotify Wrapped every year. Always listening to DMA. So yeah, as I said before, absolute privilege to speak to them. And so, so pleased that Johnny swung by for a chat. He's just such a sound guy. Very down to earth. And just, yeah, someone that really loves life, loves his music. And can confirm he loves his soup, because he was lapping it up when I was chatting to him. But I just thought the main interesting thing out of that chat was just like the chat about old songs and fans of that first album getting like a bit snotty and a bit off about the band changing their sound and having a departure away from like a debut album sound. And it is, I've always found that quite interesting, but it's so true what he says. An album comes out, people attach their memories to that album and that moment in time, and it's usually a happy time, right? If you love a band and they produce an album at that time, at a time when you're really enjoying life, and then for them maybe when to release something when you're not enjoying life so much and it's a change, then you're kind of like scrambling to get back to that happier memory and the sound that you associate to that time and that memory. It's such an interesting thing to hear from an artist, and I just can't wait for those boys to go out on tour, totally smash up the UK and play, as he said, excited to play the likes of Olympia live, get those new tracks out that have come out since their last UK tour and sing them to an audience, belting the words back to them, man. I can imagine there's no better feeling. And if the atmosphere was anything like when I saw them last in London at the Unreal Roundhouse show, then Jesus, man, they are in for one hell of a tour. Absolutely amazing. And Johnny, thanks so much for the tips on the flight. I've invested in a neck pillow, man. It's just, yeah, the Premier League of neck pillows. I can't wait.
Big Smoke Music Weekly.
Okay, and just like that, we've pretty much come to the end of the episode and the end of Big Smoke Music Weekly in its current setup. That's a weird sentence to say. When I was planning this episode, I thought it'd be great to try and somehow make it feel like the circle has been completed. So back in series one, I spoke with Charlie Vaughan, the brilliant drummer at the time, went on to become the singer of the great little outfit, Weird Milk. Very much like a retro sound to their tunes. A bit Beatles-ish, a bit Kinksy in places. And I thought it'd be great. He's just become a solo artist. He's in front of the stage rather than behind a drum kit. So I thought it'd be a great way to wrap up the series and wrap up the show as a whole by having a sit down with a series one guest, Mr. Charlie Vaughan.
Like the stars need the sky.
Well, I'm thrilled to say I'm with Charlie Vaughan now. How are you, Charlie?
I'm good, Luke. How are you?
I'm bloody well, mate. I'm bloody well. I have to start off by saying, so this is going to be like my last episode, potentially forever. I don't know. I might be back in some form, but we don't know with the move to Oz, obviously. But I was going to say, it's like the stars have aligned. The fact we're talking here, because you spoke to me on like the first season of Big Smoke Music Weekly.
That's mad. What year was that?
I think it was 2018. End of 2018. Whoa. Yeah,
a different world, literally a different world.
Unbelievable, isn't it? Yeah, crazy, man, crazy. So that was when you're with Weird Milk. So for people that don't know, tell us what the latest is, where things have been left with Weird Milk.
Weird Milk got to post-pandemic, we did a UK tour in 2021. And that was like the best time. We came back and played loads of shows and kind of got to the London show, which was at Amera, which was so much fun. And, you know, we all deemed it a success and it was great. And then, I don't know, we kind of then, I don't know, yeah, just took a little break. And that break has kind of lasted a bit longer. And that's when I started writing songs and I'd taken over lead vocals from Zach. And so that gave me the confidence that I could sing. And then I kind of wanted to push myself more and sing out front. And I did it. And I was like, oh, I can do this. And I was, you know, really pleasantly surprised and pleased with myself that I'd pushed myself to do it. And so then I was like, well, I'm going to explore this, I think, for the foreseeable. And yeah, so we're all kind of, you know, we're all doing little musical bits and writing still. And
yeah, man, I suppose sometimes, as I always say, things happen for a reason. Sometimes you do take a break and it just feels right, I guess, having a break. But how did you find, because you always did sing when you had a pair of sticks in your hand in Weird Milk, was it quite weird to actually step it out in front of the kit?
Yeah, I took it slowly. So I like a mate was putting on like an acoustic night. So I was like, oh, well, that's probably the perfect start. But actually doing an acoustic show is just like way more scary than with a band, because it's just you and it's really, really intimate and everyone's really quiet. And so that was, yeah, that, so that as the first one was quite a good, was a good, I, you know, like, you know, it was just the kind of classic stuff. Am I gonna get really nervous? Like, I wasn't sure how I was gonna feel about doing it. But no, it was good. Yeah,
awesome,
I think it was a good show. Yeah,
I suppose it's like that old like sporting cliche, like a footballer is all right because he's got 10 other blokes around him, but a tennis player, it's just him.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go. Well, anyway, mate, let's talk about your solo stuff. I Want You came out in December. Talk us through that track, because the lyrics on that, man, they're beautifully written, man. Really nice words in that.
Thanks, so mate.
Talk us through that track, and we'll also have to talk about the video too.
The tune was one of the first ones I wrote, February 2021. And it was just kind of, I wanted an extension of what I was writing in Weird Milk with the kind of tempo changes, but I wanted it to be it's like, it's a love song, obviously. I think I wrote the I Want You bit to my girlfriend in front of her. Is that just really corny? But I did, yeah.
Love it.
I came up with the I Want You bit, yeah. And so I was like, oh, actually that's quite good. Like, I was just like messing about on the guitar in front of her. And I was like, I'm going to write your song. And then I came up with that and I was like, oh, that's pretty good, actually. And then I recorded it on my phone and then came back to it and finished it. And then, the difference is that I just wanted more kind of acoustic guitar. So I was listening to a lot of Bob Dylan at that time. And so I wanted to bring acoustic guitar, make a kind of like earthier sound.
Nice, man. It's nice. It's quite a nice, like, in a way, continuation from the Weird Milk stuff, because that kind of had like the retro sound to it too. Do you reckon that's always a sound that you'll stick by, kind of thing, in your?
I don't know. Yeah, I always feel like we didn't get to make an album as Weird Milk, and that's what I'm working towards now. And I want to get an album out of that kind of music, all of the stuff I love, with all the influences, the songwriters I love, and then I have it in my head that I would put that out and then I would move on in some way, or I would push myself some way to embrace things that I haven't, whether it be like synthesizers or drum machines, or that's always been in my head that that's my goal, like to do an album like that and then move on in some sort of way. But I don't know.
Yeah, I'd love to see you do like a New Order-esque synthy dance album.
Well, right. Well, that's the thing. Like, I think I've tried to, I try to listen to those, the that kind of music more often. Like, I don't know if you know Panda Bear.
Yeah, yeah.
They take those influences that I think are similar to mine, but in some kind of very modern, and I love that and I want to do that. But yeah, we'll see.
Awesome, man. The world is your oyster musically.
Awesome. Well, yeah, of course, everyone's, yeah.
Exactly. Well, I did mention the video for I Want You. Great video. I have to ask, though, did your cheeks hurt at the end of that? Because it's the most smiley video of any video I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, it really did. And if you notice in the last scene, it's I'm really like, I'm really tired. Like, I don't want to do this anymore.
I have no serotonin left.
Like, yeah. And also, I'm unsure if, yeah, you know, like, I should leave it to people's imaginations, but like, I'm supposed to look quite like psychotic, like that's the like the point. Like, I'm supposed to, but I think some people are like, wow, you're just such a smiley guy, you know, like, look at that. And I was like, yeah. And so we're doing scenes over and over again, and this is in public as well, so it's like quite hard. Like, Ali Pali is a lot of people walking about, you know, and you're just like, like this, all, and yeah, people like filming on their phones and things. And it was, yeah,
I reckon it probably looked like the most indie version of a Colgate advert ever. You know what I mean? It's just constant bing of your pearly whites up on the screen, man.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they did look good. Yeah.
Whose idea? Were they pillows with faces on them? Because whose idea was that? That was a great idea. I like that.
That's John, the director and the filmmaker. So he's a good mate. He's working on the next one with me as well.
Nice.
He's got some zany, crazy ideas. Yeah.
So that scene where the pillows are, where it's really windy, was that real wind, or did you actually like bring in a little wind machine?
Yeah, a lot of people ask me this. Yeah, it was real wind. Yeah, it was really hard.
I was like, fucking hell, he's being battered here.
It was so windy. So there's this small column like in Alexandra Palace where it's filmed, and it's just so windy, and the people who were at the table with me, they were having to hold those pillows, and like, it was such a hard thing, and that's where everyone was walking past as well, so it's so intense.
Love it. Yeah, amazing. I also wanted to ask, mate, you've been on the road with Honeymoon of late. Yeah. How was that, and what were you doing for them? Because I was actually meant to come to one of the shows, but I couldn't make it.
Oh, there'll be more. I'm just playing drums. Yeah, so I've think been good mates with all of the band, Joey. Yeah,
great Jack, boys, aren't they?
Zach, for a while. So yeah, they just asked me to drum. And Yasmin, the keys player, is also the keys player in my band. So we all kind of hang out and see each other a lot.
Awesome, man.
So yeah, just playing the tubs for him for a bit. I think, yeah, we've got a few more dates later on in the year as well.
Nice one. Yeah, it's great.
It's great fun.
Great little band. We love Honeymoon here. It's great. And to end, mate, what can we expect from your good self on your solo stuff? What is up next? What does this year hold?
New single, The Director, is out on March the 10th. And then I'm playing a headline show to celebrate on the 16th of March. That's the Thursday at the Old Blue Last in London.
Lovely stuff.
And then I've got a bunch of other gigs to announce as well, stuff with other bands.
Nice, man. Yeah. Nice. Who plays with you when you're doing your solo stuff then? Who's the rest of the band?
Oh, so you got Jules on drums from Pinch, who I believe is on this show.
They
as
are.
Well.
What is weird how crossovers happen.
It's crazy, isn't it? It's a small world. Yaz, who's keys player for Honeymoon, as I said, and Alex Guess, who's the bass player who played bass with me in Weird Milk. So
awesome, man. Love it. Yeah, love it stuff. Well, all the very best, mate, for the solo stuff.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Can't wait for more of it. Nice one. Take it easy, brother.
You too.
Big Smoke Music Weekly.
Do go and have a listen to that track by Charlie, because honestly, as I mentioned there, the lyrics are beautiful, man, and it's just so worth listening to. He's got a new track coming out on the 10th of March, and that goes by the name of The Director. And as he says on his Instagram, get your popcorn out and your sweeties, because that new single's coming out. See what he's done there, film reference. Very clever lad is Charlie. Also, do go and follow him on his Instagram page as well. He's at @CharlieV_musically. And you can see little snippets of his smiling little face on that video.
Big Smoke Music Weekly.
Oh, right. Well, it's come to my final sign-off for a Big Smoke Music Weekly episode. And I can confirm I'm not going to miss saying Big Smoke Music Weekly quickly, because fucking hell, why did I choose such a long title? After 6 years, he's admitted it. But yeah, it has been an absolute honour doing this. As I said, some of the bands that I've interviewed, I never thought I'd get to interview and to meet them. The Libertines, true heroes of mine. Bands like Honeymoon, great friends of mine in that band. They've done brilliant things with the Close Encounter Club. We've done special episodes with them. Joey's come on and been a co-host. Sam Tucker from Close Up Promotions, he's been a co-host. We've had brilliant people in the industry like Shannon Cotton come on as well as a guest. And yeah, just... honestly, thank you to everyone. Some other artists that I've interviewed: Bessie Turner, Katie J. Pearson, Opus Kink, Fur, Spectre, Calva Louise, The Magic Gang. Honestly, just so happy to have spoken to all of these people. 10 Tons, that's another one. And yeah, it's honestly been brilliant. So yeah, I've actually got goosebumps recording this, because it feels very weird. Something that I've worked on for so long, to see the back of it in its current guise. So yeah, I genuinely, my voice is a little bit, because I feel a little bit emotional. Really do appreciate you listening.
Big Smoke Music Weekly.
I couldn't part ways without instilling one last bit of wisdom. And that comes in the form of, now that's what I call music, 47. Now bear with me, because some guys uploaded all of them, all of the nows, onto Spotify, and holy shit, man, now 47 is just like, if I was a DJ playing in like a late night indie bar and you just want some shit old pop tunes that are also actually bangers, you can finally admit they're your guilty pleasure because you're battered, then look no further than now 47. Let me just run you through some of the tracks on there. Robbie Williams, Rock DJ. Mojo, Hear Me Tonight. Ronan Keating, who apparently I look like, I'm not having that. Life is a Roller Coaster. What a fucking tune that is. U2, Beautiful Day, that's on there. Do you remember that? All Saints, Pure Shores. David Gray, Babylon. Body Groove by The Architects. Do you remember that song? Gotta let your body groove. 7 Days, Craig David. Mate, it's all kicking off. Britney Spears, Lucky. Can't Find the Moonlight by Leanne Rimes. Holy fucking shit. There's S Club 7 on here. Another track from Robbie. Trouble by Coldplay. Mate, it's just like an endless stream of bangers. We got Kylie Up on the House. Mel C. Sonic. Oh, man. Unreal. Darude's on there, man. What? Darude? I didn't even say that one. So, yeah, there you go. That is from an indie podcast. That is my last thing that I want to say to you. Go and check out Now 47.
Big Smoke Music Weekly.
For anyone that stuck with the show for the whole time, across the 5-6 years, thank you so much. Who's followed the page, who's put up with my drunken recordings of interviews with bands at festivals when I definitely should not be interviewing them. Who's, yeah, just followed the whole journey. It's been great, and I really do appreciate it. And yeah, stay tuned, because it's not the end. There will be something in some form from Down Under. This is not the end, but before I do shed a tear into my own lovely little microphone, thank you and take it easy.